Sailing America, where our answer today is treason and terrorism by the Zionist-occupied government against the American people, with my special guest, J.B. Campbell. And I just have to put on the record, I want to vomit when I hear this IRN news crap. It's absolute garbage. But I did like when they actually mentioned how the Syrian troops are raiding homes and detaining people, just like here, J.B. And isn't it amazing how we look over there and we use these kinds of activities as an excuse to plan yet another raid against those people, most of who don't believe in usury, and that's one of the main problems, and they know about the Zionists. But it's just sickening. So I just have to say that because I do not support this IRN news crap. Okay, were you able to find the Kol Nidre?
I sure was. I got it from the Jewish Jewish Encyclopedia.
Excellent.
And, of course, Kol Nidre means all vows, you know, all promises.
Mm-hmm.
And the actual, it goes like this. This is what I read to Bill Handel on over 50,000 watts in Los Angeles. And I know his hair turned white when he heard this. But and if you recall, there was a movie, the famous talkie, the first talkie called The Jazz Singer with Al Jolson. I think 1929 or something like that, 29 or 30, maybe 29. And it wasn't all talkie, but it was partially sound. And Al Jolson played the son of a cantor in the synagogue.
Okay.
And his father was a famous cantor, a singer.
Mm-hmm.
And he would, one of the jobs of the cantor is to sing the Kol Nidre on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, every year. So it's a very prestigious thing, but the old man got sick. So he wanted his son, who's also a singer, to sing the Kol Nidre in synagogue on the Day of Atonement. But Al Jolson, his character, he was a hipster. He didn't want to do this old stuff. He wanted to be a jazz singer, and he was a jazz singer. But the bottom line was that, of course, to please the old man, he sang the Kol Nidre on the holy day. And usually with a violin and everything, but the actual vow or oath goes like this. All vows, obligations, oaths, and anathemas, which we may vow or swear or pledge or whereby we may be bound from this Day of Atonement until the next Day of Atonement, whose happy coming we await, we do repent. May they be deemed absolved, forgiven, annulled, and void, and made of no effect. They shall not bind us, nor have power over us. The vows shall not be reckoned vows. The obligations shall not be obligatory, nor the oaths be oaths. So, in other words, it's an unbelievable declaration that nothing we say from this day for the next 365 days shall have any meaning or any effect.
Yeah, our word so means nothing. Yeah, go ahead.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, and it's consecrated, you know, it's made holy in these crazy people's minds as if it's something sacred. So that, I mean, that is to them sacred, is this ability to lie, cheat, steal, and whatever. That's why they're so dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
exactly. And let me just say, the whole idea that they take this vow on their Day of Atonement. I mean, you know, when you actually think about how insane that is, there's no other, you know, answer than it is insane. Because I'm just looking up now here. The definition of atone, it's make amends for. So they're making amends for any oath that they've kept. That's what the bottom line is. And that's how they're totally corrupting these people, to get them to believe that to be proper, you know, Jew/Zionist, that they have to, take their oaths. And in my particular interest is the Hippocratic Oath, as I know your wife's been seeing the meaning of that as well, but it means absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, you have to turn it around 180 degrees, and instead of healing people, you have to kill them. And that's what it's become in the medical mafia. But, of course, this is the same everywhere. As a matter of fact, I played on my show before on May 9th, 2009, and this is available in the C-SPAN archives. Joe Biden was at a conference at in front of AIPAC, and I don't remember exactly what AIPAC stands for, but he actually stated, and they showed it on C-SPAN, that he actually said he was a Zionist. Now, here we have the Vice President of the United States going on national TV and stating that he owes allegiance to another entity, and nothing is done. And that's what I always say, the military, they took an oath to protect and serve us from terrorists from within or without. Guess what, boys and girls, the terrorists are in the District of Criminals. When are you going to do something about it? What do you think about that?
I know it's almost beyond comprehension how bold and blatant these people are. Mm-hmm. I know that the other day that switching a little bit. I mean, Obama is not considered a reliable Zionist, and I'm sure that the Jews, the Israelis, the Zionists would like to have maybe Gingrich or Romney or especially Santorum in there, much more reliable than Obama. I mean, Obama's done everything he's been asked to do. But
yeah, although he is a sixth cousin of Dick Cheney, that was revealed in the first election campaign. So apparently he is a bloodline psychopath. Let's just say he's doing enough to cause severe damage.
Well, he's such a severe narcissist that I think he's irritated by Netanyahu. He's irritated by anybody that would tell him what to do. So mm-hmm. he's not considered reliable. You know, he makes them a little nervous with his his middle name, Hussein, and everything. I think they'd like to mm-hmm. have Biden in there, but it's a little tricky because they got to have the racial thing going too. They like to have everything about Obama is suitable, except he's just not quite reliable enough. He won't go to war. Right. Against Iran on demand. So that's not good. Bush would have done it.
Although he has stated that, all options are open, he's not saying no.
He's just asked them to wait till after the election. And I'm not sure they're going to wait. You know, I'm not sure they wouldn't rather have a Republican in there who's much more reliable than this guy. This guy's just a wild card.
Right.
So anyway. But he did say the other day, he's got this new law, whatever it is, the latest atrocity. The 1950 thing that was recycled the other day. It's got everybody scared. Now, I'll just tell you the complete story. What the heck was it? Anyway, it was just last week. He signed this new version of a Cold War War Powers Act in peacetime. It's giving total war powers in peacetime.
Oh,
I can't remember the name of it.
He can do whatever he wants. Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But I have an interesting story about that because back in 86, I finally got around to reading this pamphlet called Concentration Camp Plans for U.S. Citizens, written by a Houston attorney named William Pabst. And I didn't know what to think about it. It's pretty provocative. It was a lawsuit that he had filed against Jerry Ford and Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney back in 76 about these concentration camps and something called Operation Garden Plot. So I didn't know what to think about that. So I read it. I had it for several years, but I never even looked at it. Finally, I did take it seriously. So I thought, geez, this talks about something called FEMA and these detention camps. So I called FEMA in Washington. And I got, it was very difficult to get through to their spokesman, a guy named Russell Clanahan. But I finally got through and I had to answer all these questions. Are you a reporter? Is this for attribution? Blah, blah, blah. I said, no, I'm just a guy.
Private citizen.
Right. So eventually Russell Clanahan came on the line and he said, what do you want? Well, I said, I'm looking at this pamphlet written by this Houston attorney named Pabst, And it's a lawsuit against Ford and Rumsfeld and Cheney about these detention camps that you people are supposedly in charge of. He said, no, that's not true. Well, he says, you've got these camps. No, he said, we don't have any camps. Uh-huh. Okay. Have you heard of something called Garden Plot? Well, he said, Garden Plot is a Army operation. Army? He says, here, it's a FEMA operation. No, it's an Army operation. Call Captain Ross at the Pentagon. He'll tell you. Captain Ross? How do I get a hold of Captain Ross? He gave me his telephone number. So I called the Pentagon. Here, I had to go through this whole rigmarole again. Finally got through to Captain Ross. What do you want? Yeah, I was just talking to Clanahan over at FEMA. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking him about Operation Garden Plot. He says, yeah, that's a FEMA operation. Oh, yeah, I said, that's what I thought. But he said it's an Army operation. No. Okay, I said, what about Operation Cable Splicer?
Okay, unfortunately, there's the music. Hold that thought, JP. We got to get, through that. Please mark for your goal from here. Because it's very important. We'll be right back with more truth. Stay tuned. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where my special guest today is J.B. Campbell, the founder of the militia movement. Please continue with what you were talking about before the break.
Well, there I was on the phone with Captain Ross at the Pentagon and asking him about Garden Plot. Now, Garden Plot is the code name for martial law. I was kind of getting that. That's what they call it, Garden Plot.
So that's special.
He said... it's called, it's not our deal. It's FEMA's deal. I said, okay. Now, what about Operation Cable Splicer? I read about that in this pamphlet, too. He said, wait one. So he came back about a minute later. He said, we have no comment on Cable Splicer. I said, yeah. I said, I think that's like the state version of Garden. He said, I said, we have no comment on Cable Splicer. Oh, okay. I'll call Clanahan. Yeah, you do that. So I called Clanahan back at FEMA. He came on the line finally and said, hey, so I just talked to Captain Ross. Yeah. And he says that Garden Plot is yours. Clanahan starts to chuckle. He says, do you know what FEMA does? Well, I said, you manage emergencies. He said, FEMA is the custodian of expired authorities. I said, nah, I know what all those words mean, but when you put them together like that, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, he said there were many, back in the 50s, during Truman, there were many acts passed. The Defense Manpower Act, Defense Manpower Resources Act, and he named two or three more. Yeah. Well, they've expired. And you're the custodian of expired authorities. That's right. So, okay. So you've got these authorities, but they're expired. That's right. Okay. Well, let me just ask you, what could bring them back to life? You said a declaration of a national emergency.
Hmm.
I said, so if a... Boy, that would make you very powerful, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought we were under a national emergency. So what do you mean? Well, didn't Jimmy Carter say that the energy crisis is a national emergency? Well, no, he said that's not what we're talking about. Oh, what else? Well, I said, I guess that's about it. So that was 1986. The following year, 1987, Oliver North was on the stand in the Iran-Contra hearings in the Congress. And it turned out one day the Miami Herald did a big story on Oliver North and FEMA conspiring to set up concentration camps and suspend the Bill of Rights and no more habeas corpus and all that stuff. So a buddy of mine said, hey, why don't you call FEMA back and see what they have to say about that? Hey, that's a heck of an idea. So I called Russell Clanahan back. He came, finally got on the line. He said, what do you want? I said, hey, this is Campbell in California. You remember me last year? He said, no. Well, I was asking you about Operation Garden Plot. Oh, yes, he said, I do remember you. What do you want? Well, what do I want? Oliver North and you people are setting up concentration camps, suspend the Bill of Rights. I mean, what do you think? What do I want? Well, he said, I don't handle these questions now. You know, I'll have to have somebody else call you back. Give me your number. Okay. So the next day, phone rang. The guy says, Mr. Campbell? Yeah. There's Bill Maceda with FEMA. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Planahan said you had some questions. Yeah. I mean, what are you guys doing? What do you mean? Well, I mean, the Miami Herald says that you and Oliver North, National Security Council, conspired to put up, to take away our freedoms and our Bill of Rights. He says, I'm the one that dealt with the Miami Herald. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. So it's true. He said, I'm not saying that. Okay. Well, he said, we're not doing that. Okay. Now, he said, as far as detention camps are concerned, and I didn't have a chance to mention detention camps to him, but he had my dossier. You know, Clanahan probably put it in front of him. He said, this is what this guy wanted last year. He said, we don't have any detention camps. Mm-hmm. Well, then he said, there is the one in Wisconsin. There's the one in Kentucky and the one in Louisiana. I said, I thought you said you didn't have any. He said, just the three. Mm-hmm. He said, but those are for the Mariel Boatlift Cubans. You know, those crazy people. Yeah. Right. Well, he said, they're crazy, man. What are you going to do with them? Where are you going to put them? I said, Bill, I don't care about the Mariel Boatlift Cubans. I'm concerned you're going to put people like me in there. Oh, we wouldn't do that. Uh-huh. Well, Bill, I got a list here of like 12 of your camps. And I read them off to him. And I said they are administered by the 300th Military Police POW Command out of Inkster, Michigan. He didn't say anything. Finally he said, what else? I guess that's it, Bill. He says, you have a nice day now. And he was just playing with me. Like, you know, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
So my answer is we have to overthrow this stinking government. We have no choice. We have to overthrow the government by force and violence. Everything that they say is so bad. Well, I mean, how did we become a country in the first place? We overthrew it. Now, here's something to remember. What Americans don't quite get. Back in 1775 through 1781, whatever it was, those terrible years. Actually, they were wonderful years, but they were pretty terrible in a certain way. Those were not Americans overthrowing a foreign government. Those were Englishmen overthrowing the English government. It's a major thing to think about. Those were Englishmen overthrowing their own government. Now, we Americans, thanks to those guys, we have a duty to overthrow this American government. There's no choice. We either do that or we're going to die. And we have to overthrow the federal government, and we have to overthrow the invisible government, the Council on Foreign Relations, and all the Jewish organizations that I mentioned earlier. This is our duty as Americans.
And all their aiders and abettors. Their aiders and abettors. I mean, it's unbelievable. And it's not just, you know, weapons that they're using against us. My main focus, one of my focuses is the global pedophile cabal that they're protecting with all these agencies. But the vaccination, which is actually a weapon of mass destruction, and I've proven that on my DrCarly.com site, I have the legal definition of weapon of mass destruction, and it is vaccinations, which have the potential to cause harm or death, and basically, you know, once they're made by Big Pharma, mysteriously, they become a public health savior. And there's actually a YouTube video of a vaccinator, because they're now going door to door. You know, they're doing this the same as they're doing with, you know, the police that are pretending that, you know, they're peace officers. They just want to come in and talk to you, whatever. Once you open the door, you got a problem. But there was actually a mom who told this vaccinator that came to the door and was saying, your child isn't up to date on their vaccinations and we're here to help you. And she said, I'm going to get my gun and kill you if you don't leave the property. And they didn't do a damn thing to her. Okay? Basically, they just went away. And that's what I want people to realize. That people are cowering in fear. You know, they're becoming ostriches. And that's why I have a big problem with Alex Jones. He does tell a lot of truth about what's going on, but he doesn't tell people what to do about it. He just gets them scared and they become ostriches. We have to stand up. I mean, part of the natural aggressive response, if you try to kill the offspring of any animal you want to mention, I have a bird that builds a nest in one of my tomato planters every year. And I like to watch, you know, I just peek in to see if the eggs have hatched and stuff. And she starts screeching at me and basically, you know, trying to scare me. I have no harmful intent. But this you know, protective response has been eliminated from the people. It's really amazing. And I just want to bring out this latest movie that's come out that's being propagated everywhere called The Hunger Games, which is supposedly a movie for tweens where 12 districts must each offer up 2 children to fight to the death so that others can eat. And people watch the games of killing for their amusement until only one child is left. And this is the kind of crap they're putting into the mindset of the young people that, you know, it's, you know, basically we're living in an Armageddon type situation. They never ask who's causing the Armageddon type situation, but, you know, it's like an honor to allow yourself to be killed. You never stand up to the killers. And I have a real problem with that.
Yeah, even a rabbit will bite you if you put it in a corner. So we have to, you know, at least rise to the level of rabbits here.
That's a good one. Yes, I totally agree with you. I mean, you know, the night I called you to confirm you coming on the show, somebody had sent me a link to a YouTube video of cops committing more heinous atrocities. And I ended up spending hours, you know, once you get on YouTube, you just keep on going. There are hours and hours of YouTube videos of cops tasering 80-year-old women, breaking into homes. You know, there's some Pastor Sanderson who was allegedly stopped because the light on his license plate wasn't working. And he started talking about the Constitution and things of that nature. And next thing you know, they're breaking down, they're breaking the glass of his window and tasering him for 20 seconds, which could have killed him. And they dragged him off to, you know, confinement and all this kind of stuff. And he's working his way through the corrupt legal system now. But, you know, when people see this kind of stuff, you know, it just amazes me because I'm like you. My only child was kidnapped from me, and he's been ritually abused for over a decade now. Nobody's done a darn thing about it. Nobody cares. You know, it's really amazing that until something happens to somebody themselves, they basically say, well, I'll go along to get along. Just leave me alone. You know, I'll, you know, let me drink my beer and watch my movies or whatever the case may be. You know, go to the gladiator games. I'll just not cause you a problem. And how are we going to fix that mentality? That's our problem, in my opinion. And, of course, religion plays into that, the whole turn the other cheek, you know, Israel is our, you know, chosen people crap.
Yeah, well, I can only tell you how I've conducted myself and why I've been left alone for all these years, considering I am the guy that started the militia movement. For example, when I went up to Montana, I didn't realize, you know, about the militia of Montana. I went up to help those guys, thinking that they were on the level. And I took a bunch of machine guns with me and passed them out up there, not knowing that the head of the militia of Montana was a federal agent.
Yeah.
John Truckman, the militia of Montana, is an FBI sting operation. Well, I gave him a machine gun. I gave his brother a machine gun, you know, high quality German machine guns. And I gave his nephew a machine gun. I gave everybody in the militia of Montana a machine gun. The FBI and they were working for the FBI and the ATF. and the FBI knew all about the machine guns. And they never said a word. They never came against me. They never did anything. They did come to my house one time, but they pretended that they were interested in my tire disposal business. They knew all about the machine guns, but they knew that I was just itching for an excuse to use the machine guns on these guys. That's why I went to Montana. So all I can say is they don't mess around with people that they know are going to fight, especially after Waco. That was a catastrophe of the first order. And they didn't expect any resistance from these Christians. I'm not sure what the heck happened there. But those funny people, they gave us a tremendous amount of breathing space. We owe them a lot. They made our lives a lot more valuable because they shot it out. I mean, they fought. And I just have nothing but respect for them. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a believer. I don't like any of that nonsense.
No,
but something about those people, they fought.
Right. I just want to say, people ask me my religion. I'm an anti-demon, anti-evil, anti-psychopath. You know, this whole religion thing has been totally corrupted. I'm having trouble locating that in your essays. But I know that you actually mentioned the true purpose of them doing the whole Waco thing and all of that. Can you tell the listeners about that?
Well, there was a horrible scandal going on in the ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. I mean, have you ever heard of an organization that's more illegal by its title, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms? Anyway, they were in trouble because they were abusing the female members of the ATF, sexually abusing them.
And they were having just like in the military.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, women have to understand, if they get involved in these organizations, they're there for one reason. That's for the amusement of the male members.
Yeah.
So anyway, there was this huge scandal, and they thought they could redeem themselves with some spectacular success against gun owners. And so they were using this Operation Showtime, which they called it, to absolve themselves and show what a bunch of heroes they were. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way for them. Fortunately for us, it was a total disaster. My Iranian cat to be quiet. Okay. No, he can't. He can't be quiet. Here.
Well, he's pissed. I don't blame him. He's like,
yeah.
Something. Well, okay.
I threw my wallet at him.
I missed.
So.
You know, the poor animals are being destroyed as well. I mean, you know, eventually maybe they're going to be our protectors, you know. I have three dogs and two cats myself. I'm shocked that they're not making noises in the background. But, yes, they're destroying everything on the planet. That's what they're doing. And that just proves that they're psychopaths, because who but a psychopath would destroy everything that's living? And I've talked on the show before. I'm convinced that that's why we have this, you know, the NASA thing. You know, they're looking for someplace else to go to destroy after they destroy this planet. Apparently, psychopaths get some kind of, joy, whatever, out of destruction. And that's what they're doing. So, what's your cat's name?
That's Mau Mau.
Okay, Mau Mau. Send a shout out to Mau Mau.
Mau Mau. He's being quiet now.
He's supporting his dad. Okay, go ahead.
He's a little surprised to see that wallet coming at him. So I guess he's being quiet now.
Go ahead.
I went after Alex Jones the other day for the first time. I hate to criticize anybody that's on our side in the slightest. But it finally occurred to me how destructive Alex Jones is with his style. He's a demoralizer. He scares the bejesus out of people. But as you said, he offers no program.
And he protects the Zionists, okay? He protects the Zionists. That's the
Absolutely.
Main thing. Yeah.
I don't know if you got this email. Somebody sent me an email saying that Holly Bronfman Lev is Edgar Bronfman's sister, is founder of the Bet Lev Foundation and 100% owner of Lev Group Limited. Holly Bronfman's legal affairs are conducted by the high-powered lawyer Elizabeth Schurig, who also happens to handle the legal affairs of Alex Jones. Schurig's legal office is located at 100 Congress Avenue, 22nd floor, Austin, Texas. Of particular note, on January 3rd, 2008, Schurig changed Jones Production LLC to the same address as her legal firm, 100 Congress Avenue. So, I mean, I don't know if it's true, but it's something that should be investigated. Because he as I said in my piece, he seems to be morbidly afraid of offending Jews in anything he says.
Well, he's married to a Jew, but the whole Zionist thing, there's been many callers that have called into his show and asked him hard questions about that. And he just basically starts screaming and refuses to address that issue on the air. And I've had a real problem with that. He did have me on a show three times in the beginning of 2010 in regards to vaccines. We had a four-show scheduled. And a couple hours before the show, I was called by his producer to say, well, he had to do more, you know, investigation, and then I never heard from him again. And I've realized, and that's one thing that people have to realize, and that's why I always tell people, don't believe anything I say. Check things out for yourself, because we've been lied to about everything, that we have been infiltrated in every way you can imagine. Just like you were talking about what you experienced, how you were infiltrated, that's what these minions do. And that's why I've never formed an organization, because they send in their, you know, provocateurs and infiltrators, and they try to turn things around and, you know, divide and conquer. That's the whole game. We have to realize, in my opinion, this is my opinion, we have two groups of people on the planet. We have the psychopaths, and we have the people of conscience. And the people of conscience are being used as prey by the predator psychopaths. And if the prey doesn't stand up and start protecting their own, as you promote, we are toast. Period. I mean, it's self-evident. What else do you need? I mean, it's so obvious. And like you said, all these religious groups, they're waiting for the man in the sky who's in control and is allowing all this. Apparently, he's watching it for his amusement. I mean, it makes me sick. And this is my frustration, because I cannot tolerate evil. That's why I stood up against the entire medical mafia. And I've had lots of stuff happen to me because of it. But I don't care, because I would rather them kill me than live in the world that they're creating. Why don't more people have that feeling, or whatever you want to say, protectionist attitude, even for their own families? I've had parents respond to me, and I say, well, you know, if you can't get a vaccine exemption for your child, that you know they're killing them and causing all disease, you got to get them out of school. Well, I really can't do that. You know, we need two incomes in the family to do, you know, to have what we need to have or whatever. What happened to that protectionist attitude? Where has it gone?
Well, of course, I blame basically Christianity for this passive defeatist attitude. I'm sure there's more to it. There's Hollywood too, but yeah. Basically, America is a Christian country. Or had, you know, traditionally was. And what did Jesus do? Jesus surrendered. And surrender is okay in the Christian mentality. So I blame just about everything on this horrible passive philosophy. Now, as I, you know, as you say, I started the militia movement back in, I wrote the book, or the manuscript in 83. I finally got it going around 89. Only because I only use that word militia because of the Second Amendment, which is a very deceptive and poorly conceived document.
Yes. Okay. This is a very important point. I want you to bring that home after the break. We'll be right back after these messages, folks. Stay tuned. And we're back with the last segment of What's Ailing America, where our answer today has been treason and terrorism by the Zionist occupied government against the American people, with my special guest, J.B. Campbell. And I want to thank you, J.B., for your patience in getting on the air. I want to encourage all the people listening that have their own shows to have JB on as well. We have to activate the protective mechanism of the people. Why are they cowering in fear? Why are they doing nothing? Well, I know religion is a very large part of it. But if we are to stand and stop the genocide and the extermination of the human race, those that have a conscience, it's time to act. Because I totally agree with you, JB. This is the year. And I think that's why that whole Mayan calendar crap has been promoted, because they want people to think, oh, this is a, you know, what God has ordained. Okay, well, if the God that has ordained this is allowing all this crap to happen, why are you submitting to that God? But please, I'm going to let you take it over and just say whatever you want to say for the rest of the show. Take it over from where you ended off before the break.
Yeah, well, I started this militia thing because of the wording of the Second Amendment, which is very poor. You know, this this bit about the well-regulated militia being such and such, that's a bunch of garbage. There is no such thing as a well-regulated militia. Nobody is authorized to regulate the militia. The regulations come in the regular Army and Navy, but that's what regular means, is subject to regulations. And militias cannot be well-regulated. Some people have said, oh, that just means they're organized. No, no, it does not mean that. Words have meanings. So the problem was with the Second Amendment was that from 1840, and I did all the research for my book, from 1840 to whenever I finished in late 80s, or actually about 83 or something like that when I first finished, all the court decisions, these judges had said, well, Mr. So-and-so, this sawed-off shotgun here, I don't see any relationship between this sawed-off shotgun and a well-regulated militia, so you should go to prison. And Mr. So-and-so, this blackjack in your pocket, I don't see any, you know, Second Amendment applications. So the Second Amendment was actually used against us more than it was ever in our favor. The massive arming of the country was kind of a natural thing because of our frontier heritage, and then, of course, the CIA got involved and was bringing in millions of guns through Interarms, which was a CIA front in Virginia, Alexandria, Virginia. Sam Cummings, CIA guy. So the arming of the country was done by the CIA, as is the disarming. We're kind of in a nutcracker between the CIA arming us and the CIA front groups like Handgun Control and National Coalition to Ban Handguns. These are all CIA fronts led by a guy named, what is his name? Anyway, he was a CIA agent that set up these two groups, and which were the pilot projects for all the disarmament groups. So we're heavily armed, but the problem is how to disarm us now. And that is being done through psychological brainwashing, you know, to disarm us mentally. Well, that's what I stand for. I say, you know, let's not be disarmed. Let's use our guns for what they were meant to be used for, and that's overthrowing a dictatorial government. Now, I don't use the word militia anymore because it's been totally saturated by the feds, by the police, by the Jews, and we don't want to use that because it was I just used that to jam the militia up the rear end of the government, which I did.
So,
I was very successful in it. I started a massive armed movement, which the CIA had to destroy. As William Colby said to John DeCamp just before Oklahoma City, you know, this militia movement is very dangerous because it's so big and the members are the average successful citizens of the United States. That's what made it so dangerous. So they had to wreck it, which they did overnight with Oklahoma City. So now it's just got to be the resistance with small r. It can be men and women. The militia was all men, but the resistance should be men and women. And we've got to operate on all levels, whether it's, you know, peaceful or violent. And mainly it's going to have to be violent because what these guys have planned for us, they have this horrible, violent future for us. So we're going to have to get very violent in return.
I would add the word protectors. I would say resistance protectors, because basically, as I stated before, that's what we're doing. We're protecting ourselves, our loved ones, our pets, our progeny, everything that matters, the very existence of humanity itself. has to be protected against the psychopaths. And I totally agree with you. And I don't promote revolution. I can't imagine myself, you know, killing another person. But if somebody comes and breaks down my door to kill me or harm anything that I care about, I can't say what I would do, but I know what I would do. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was a conflict. You know, my wife's a doctor also, and she took an oath just like you did to do no harm. But I think that really means medical harm or, you know, harm to a person through bad practices. But it has nothing to do with defending yourself from violence. And that's a totally different matter. And if you don't defend yourself, and you can't help anybody if you're dead.
Right.
So you have to defend yourself.
Right. But the medical, like I said before I was able to bring you on, the medical profession has become hypocrites. Okay. So they're killing people as well. As a matter of fact, the most effective way to kill people is bring them into the hospital. And there's so many people that are being killed in the hospital because, you know, you can inject them with drugs or do mismatched blood transfusions or whatever the case may be, and that's a very easy way to bring them out. But, yes, I totally agree with you. It's a matter of survival. That's what I want to bring home, your survival, okay? You can't compromise with evil. You can't negotiate with psychopaths. The people that have sold out, these military monsters that are coming home now to become police so that they can tase you and do all kinds of things to you as they're ordered to do so, and they get a lot of apparent joy out of doing that. All you have to do is look at the photographs from Abu Ghraib and different things that have come out. See, they're enjoying this. They've been totally transformed. They have no soul.
Yeah, so the question is, what do we do about it? And back in 1980, I got arrested in a so-called conspiracy to assassinate David Rockefeller. And somehow, by great luck, and I had a Thompson submachine gun, and somehow I beat it on a technicality. It was a very lucky deal. But, I mean, they had me cold. Now, within a couple of years, I thought, I can't keep doing this because I'm going to get killed. And I don't say that's an impossibility in any case, but I'd like a better shot at it. And I need to have some help. That's why I started the militia movement. I wanted a gang. I wanted some guys with me. And all I managed to do with this militia movement was to sell a lot of weapons and ammunition. You know, millions of arms were bought with the help of the Clintons because they were such sinister people. But that's about all it amounted to, was amassing a bunch of guns and ammo. Nothing got done with them. It was a kind of a defensive thing. You know, you can have my gun when you get it from my cold dead fingers, that kind of thing.
Right.
So we have, you know, I'm going to try to make this movement into an offensive movement against the people I mentioned earlier, the Jewish powerhouses, the Council on Foreign Relations, and renegade cops and military. You know, they're traitors. Gun control is treason. Anybody who would do a roadblock is a traitor. And, you know, we know what the penalty for treason is. That's where I come from.
I totally agree with you. I mean, I know people that say, well, when they come to my door, you know, that's when I'm going to do something about it. Well, you know, that's going to be too late in most cases. They have their SWAT team. So what chance are you going to have against a SWAT team? We have to go on the offensive against these monsters at all level, including medical. And that's the problem, is that most people cower in fear. They don't want to cause a problem, you know, and so they just cower. And I totally agree with you. We have to go on the offensive. These monsters have to be eliminated. My dream is to have them put in a giant glass prison in Arizona or someplace in the Sun Belt and let them, you know, be under the sun 24/7 and have people, you know, going by them 24/7 asking them hard questions. You know, because I think death is too easy for these traitors. But there's so many of them and their minions that go along with the program. If we have a hope of surviving, we have to do something. I totally agree.
Yep.
Okay. Please give out any website or contact information or anything you want to give out.
Well, I think my website is probably the most hardcore on the internet from what I have seen. J.B. Campbell Extremism Online. .com. I don't think there's anything quite like it. So
I agree.
Have a look at it.
Okay. And I'm going to promote you to all the radio hosts that I know, except for the ones on RBN, of course. And I encourage them to have you on the show because, as I said many times, you are the man, okay? And you are the protector. And I cannot tell you how much I respect you for that, because we need more protectors if we're going to survive the destruction that these psychopaths have planned for all of us. So I thank you for everything you're doing, and I thank your wife for standing up against the medical mafia. You are true heroes to America, but I don't think you're going to be getting a Purple Heart. I'm sure you don't mind that.
At OrionTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
Later proved to be connected to drug smuggling and incurred a $50 million fine for failing to monitor cash used to ship 22 tons of cocaine. They actually run the drugs for the drug cartels as well. I mean, can you get any more ridiculous than this?